Very good morning to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. We will continue from where we stop. We will pay our homage to the Triple Gem. Then we will continue from Heart Sutta, page 99. Okay. Arahang sama sambuto bhagawa Butang bhagawantang abhiwademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, turn the page 99 of the Heart Sutta. And emphasize on the previous lesson, Heart Sutta class, lesson 29. There is no short note for last week's Heart Sutta class, so we will use the short note for the last Tuesday Surangama Sutta class. This one, the Surangama Sutta, is very important for those who intend to take the Bodhisattva way. You have to listen attentively. If you cannot understand this, it's difficult to penetrate, because as you walk this way, you have to cultivate all the perfection of wisdom. Means you have to cultivate and penetrate all dhammas. So when you do this, you will encounter a lot of energy field type of disturbances or activity. They are all stated in the Surangama Sutta, the 50 deviant samadhi, the wrong samadhi that you have to be careful. Then Surangama Sutta also very unique, because it can truly teach you the penetrative Dhamma. Like that sentence, perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. This statement, you must not mistaken it for direct seeing. If you experience this, doesn't mean you have the direct seeing. This one will only be understood when you awaken. Otherwise, it's just Dhamma. You think you have it. That one, the wisdom is not there yet. But as you cultivate, different state of mind can give you glimpses of certain experience. But you don't go and straight away relate to this one. This statement, when you awaken already, you will understand it. Then you appreciate what the Sutta actually is capable of explaining all this in words. Then it also explains to you how living being, from the original single thought of ignorance, the primordial mind, how it falls and become what you are today. So I will read through, then you will develop the understanding. The Surangama Sutta or Leng Yen Jing is important because without it, the Maras will create havoc. According to Master Xuan Hua, This sutta will be the first sutta to disappear during the Dhamma ending age. If this sutta is around, the Maharas will find it very difficult to delude the cultivators. This sutta explains clearly the danger of the 50 deviant samadhi or wu siying mo that can trap the cultivators if they deludedly grasp onto all these states or any of all these states. The Surangama Sutta also explains how the living being come into this world of existence via the four stages of manifestation originating from the source. These four stages of manifestation are clearly explained in the notes to be given out at the next Tuesday class. From the source come the true mind, impure awareness before the knowing. Man, because of basic ignorant cause, since time without beginning by the first thought of ignorance, which screened the true mind, became subject to birth and death. This is how it starts. Thus, both permanent and impermanent unite to transform that true mind into alaya consciousness of vijnanam. The root of samsara. So this is how it all started. Because primordial darkness, they call it sometimes, certain book. Primordial is the very near the original. Then they call it darkness because of the first thought of ignorance. So basic ignorance caused since time without beginning. Like the Buddha in the sutta he mentioned. Beginningless is the beginning of the first thought that condition living being into what they are. So he said, don't try to understand or find out the origin of life. Because it's not knowledge for normal people. Only Sammasambuddha can understand. That's why he said beginningless. Means aeons and aeons and aeons. When world system come and go, come and go. Some even exist much, much longer than that. So he used the word beginningless. Surangama Sutta also same. The next one is difficult to understand, but you try your best. The alaya consciousness has three characteristics. First is a karmic one, which is basic ignorance resulting from self-evidencing. That's why the Sakkaya Ditthi came in already. Self-evidencing. You cling, you grab. Then there's a changing or condition arising one, means our existential world, which turns fundamental wisdom into false perception. That's why your aggregate come out. The root of the first seven consciousness, which is sanya, or perception, and its expression in appearances or form. This is how the physical phenomena will come about. The external phenomena will of form come about. So its expression in appearance or form. Because of basic ignorance, the spiritual bright Nirvana, absolute void, means the source, can change into dull and deluded emptiness. That's why it's not true emptiness anymore. That's why primordial darkness. Hence, Manjushri said, you know who is Manjushri? The one on the lion. The foremost in wisdom. Hence, Manjushri said, thus, in ignorance, there appear one-sided emptiness. Within this dull emptiness, ignorance gradually crystallizes and turns into illusionary form made of the four elements. This is how it comes. From consciousness, it creates illusionary form. Because all these forms are created by mind. Resulting in an imaginary world created within the void. When false perception, means the wrong perception due to the aggregate, confront form, a very small portion of this form was gradually grasped as being self-possessed and being supported by wrong perception, Then form and mind unite and grasp at this dim little form as the ego. That's how the Sakaya Ditti came about. Thereby creating the living being made up of the five aggregates of form and mind. Hence Manjushri continued to explain. Steadying itself, the thinking process makes the continent and the illusionary knower becomes the living being. Thinking process is what? Consciousness and its content. That's why consciousness created the world and the continent. Then they thought there is a knower. The knower become the living being. Then we are delusional, ignorant, the living being with the mundane mind or samsaric mind, which is the five mental aggregates of form and mind, came to be via karmic conditioning. And this was then grasped at, hence the self-delusion or Sakaya Ditti. This was the origin of a living being. Ever since then, this living being grasps at the condition arising five aggregate of form and mind, as the ego, as the I and the me. So how then can he now recognize its boundless true mind before the stirring? That's how you get deluded, conditioned into the conditioned world, samsara. So now you understand. That's why when you cultivate, you will return everything and come to understand how living beings get entangled. Then comes the external phenomenal world or world of form or consciousness created by the mundane mind via its condition arising thought and consciousness. So our meditation is to develop the wisdom to understand all this retrospectively to return the entire phenomenal world back to consciousness within the mundane mind. Then silence or still the mundane mind to connect back to the true mind. That's why if you don't silence and still the mundane mind, you cannot connect to the true mind. And the true mind can only be connected through the gateway of the form and mind, conditioned by karma. That's why I explained last time, for those who walk this way, pay attention. Because the conditioned world is like that. You cannot come to this world and civilization unless there is a form and mind, karmically conditional. Understand? You need this tool and this vehicle to come to this world or universe, to into existence. Without this vehicle, form and mind, karmically conditional, you cannot. Then without this form and mind, you cannot connect to the true mind. Because it's only through the form and mind when it's silent, still, then you connect. Then you develop the wisdom. Then it can realize the cessation. And because nature is like that, that's why it's very difficult to develop the understanding of meditation, to understand all this. And this is not normal understanding. That's why the Buddhist teaching is very, very complete, very, very unique. And it can explain everything back to the source. All of creation can be understood. That's why the Sammasambuddha is no ordinary being. That's why he said, you can call he has the perfection of, he's not only enlightened, fully enlightened, and he has all the perfection of wisdom and virtue. That's why he cultivates until everything is very perfect. Very, very perfect. Then he becomes the all, what they call omniscient, knower of the world. That's why he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever born. But all this, it cannot manifest unless he comes back in the form of a functional body and mind. That's why you have to have this karmically conditioned functional body, which we call the Nimanakaya. Then meditate, connect, link, then inherit the spiritual body, Samugayakaya. Then only it can manifest into the Sammasambuddha that teach the Dhamma. That's why the final body is Dhammakaya. So now you understand. Hopefully it will help you develop all this. Okay, I read on. 1.2, page 100. Those who just came in. Everything you come to know and perceive is manifested through mind. Mind make ade, a condition arising phenomenal world of consciousness. Before mind arise, there was nothing. So everything come after mind has arisen via mental consciousness. So how real can mental consciousness be? It is just a mental image, constantly arising and passing away from moment to moment, hence is impermanent and empty or anatta nature. If you cannot understand all this via wisdom, then you will grasp and cling onto all this mental manifestation very, very strongly, thinking that they are all real. This is delusion, and it can be very powerful. It can be so powerful as to cause you a lot of suffering via your sorrow, lamentation, and fear, etc. When you train your mind to be silent, ever mindful and heedful, then you will be able to see things as they are, thereby developing the wisdom and understanding to enable you to free and liberate your mind so that you need not suffer anymore. Then you will be able to connect to the true mind and live from there. It is this true mind in pure awareness that can see things as they are to realize the enlightenment in the here and the now. When wisdom stabilizes, the mundane mind will realize itself and cease to be, leading to the realization of Nibbana. Nibbana is complete cessation of form and mind. Even the pure awareness also will cease, and it cannot be spoken about or talked about because it is the unconditioned, beyond word, beyond form and mind. Beyond word, beyond time, and beyond what they call the form and mind. So this one is very, very important to understand. If you can understand this, you understand the Dhamma. That's why Mahayana got a very good saying. When I first heard about this sentence, I had a lot of joy. 一切一切唯心造. You understand that? Our English word actually not so impactful. Everything arises from the mind. Mind is a forerunner of all things. You don't have much understanding. Is it? This one in Mandarin is it? Everything that arises, how to explain in English? That's why I said that word, creation. That word, the English word, doesn't bring out the meaning. Wei xing zao means conditioned out by the mind. Understand? It come into existence because of the mind. Understand? It's not like God created. Understand? That's why 一切一切唯心造. The mind. The English word is maybe correct, create, but the meaning is not there. So when you use the Mandarin word, the impact is so clear. So I realize all these words are for enlightened beings. That's why the moment they hear, they understand, wow, so beautiful, the Dhamma. That's why I told a lot of the Kayamitai, that time cultivator, if you can understand this sentence, you already awaken. That's why the Buddha, first two Dhammapada verse, immediately explain this. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. So if you understand clearly these three sentences of English, is equivalent to the sentence of Mandarin that I mentioned. Then the Buddha continued, is it? Because mind is a forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. So mind is very important, understand? Therefore, you have to take care of mind. Otherwise, if you are heedless, you don't take care of mind, you will act, speak, and think with a wicked mind, unwholesome mind, that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then the Buddha said, suffering will follow you. That's how you become afflicted, suffer, miserable.
If you understand the importance of mind, that everything that happened, happened because of this mind. We are from mind, everything comes to be. All of creation, existence, come to be. Then what will you do? You will be heedful of this mind, careful about this mind. Then through your training of the mind to be heedful, to be mindful, to understand the danger, then you will act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, pure mind, free of negativity, that does not have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And then happiness will follow you, just like your shadow that never leaves you. So you have to understand this and make sure you never fall. That's why you were determined to be hateful. Otherwise, you wasted your life. And you don't blame anybody for that. It is you yourself without understanding. Even when you have the condition to understand this Dhamma and you choose to neglect, it's up to you. Your life, nobody can help you. That's why if I were you, I would be dead serious. That's why in 1971, when I knew about this teaching, the moment I read the Four Noble Truths, I never turned back. I didn't want to search anymore. I just focused on this. And very likely, everything is already meant to be. That's why the past condition and it manifests. That's why this nature, this life, this segmented form and mind has all the condition, and it just understands. When the time comes, the teacher comes, the guide comes, the book comes, everything comes. But for human beings, it's the other way around. They use this joke, no? I know come, baby come. How? So all this is the other way around. Okay, then we read on. The Mahayana Sixth Consciousness is the Theravada's Sanya aggregate of mind. You understand why the Mahayana said there is eight types of consciousness? How many of you understand? Why the Mahayana said there is eight types of consciousness? Yeah? You haven't heard of it? Yeah? How many of you don't understand? Wow, quite a number. Okay, I better explain this. Okay. The first five. Consciousness. You know what they are? Right? Seeing. Consciousness, then hearing, smell, taste, taste and tactile consciousness. So these are the basic first five consciousness that can arise through your physical senses. Then the sixth one is on. The sixth consciousness is mind. The Mahayana call it sanya, perception. Because this perception, perception, yeah, correct. Because this perception can arise in all the six senses, understand? In the seeing consciousness, it can also perceive. Can you understand not? Do you understand? Yeah? Similarly, hearing, you can perceive my voice, correct? Not? That's why in all these first five, there is also perception. That's why this is the mind consciousness. The mind is also an organ. That's why it can arise. And they subdivide this into the six consciousness. Then what is the seven consciousness? Huh? No. Seven consciousness what? Your five aggregate of form and mind actually same one. They lollygong on. They make it eight. The next one is Sankara, understand? But here they are quite wise. Sankara is mental activity or mental states. They say this sanya brings the external form into the mind. You understand? You understand? Can follow? Because all your external form that you perceive come into the mind. Then this sankara is an organ. When you think upon contact, what happens? Yeah? Consciousness arises there. Oh, that's why the eight consciousness. And this is what Vijnanang is all about. And this is what they call alaya consciousness. Just now somebody mentioned from the back. Or they call it the store consciousness. Actually, it's basically five aggregate of form and mind. Understand not? But subdivided this way. That's why if you cannot understand, the Mahayana practitioner or devotee, they will tell you, Aya Teroda, you wake up, you got eight consciousness now. You only got one. So how you reply? Oh, you be tahan. Where you cling to Theravada. Then Mahayana, they can explain to you and tell you. They say, got head, got tail. What is got head, got tail? In Hokkien it's what? Utao ubui. Then they talk until alaya consciousness. Wow, you like very impressed. No? But actually nothing. Actually the whole teaching is in the Theravada teaching. Except the Bodhisattva way is not explained. But the basic teaching is all there. Okay? So I read on, you will understand. The Mahayana Six Consciousness is the Theravada Sanya aggregate of mind, which is usually translated as mental perception or cognition. It also includes the conception and discerning aspect. Conception means you perceive it, understand? Then you discern it, understand? That's why you try to label it. Yeah? Try to understand what this thing is. That's why memory come in. That's why your mind very capable, want to describe it, judge, react, and all those things. It also includes conception and discerning aspect of the mundane mind. But the key meaning is perception and cognition. That's why Xianhua used cognition. Theravada book used perception. It's the same. When you cognize, means what? Yeah? After you perceive, you cognize. Yeah. Before the word come out, you don't cognize. That's why the aggregate of perception in Mandarin is different. Se, so, xiang. They call it xiang yun. I don't know why Mandarin use the word xiang. It's supposed to cognize or perception. So finally, I try to understand. Well, my Mandarin very limited. Then I say, maybe correct. Xiang tao. Correct not? When you understand that thing, xiang dao liao, that's why xiang yun. You perceive, your Mandarin don't have a word on a perception. Got a word on a? Huh? I realize you all don't have a word on a. That's why they have to use this word, no, xiang yun. Xiang actually, thinking, isn't it? Guan nian. Oh, then two words cannot. They need one word. Ah, huh? Oh, xiang is correct, oh. Oh, perceiving also xiang, oh. Oh, we are xiang dao ma, I perceive ma. Oh, in the center got a sing. Ah. Perception. Oh, okay, okay. Oh, but we only learn one type. Yeah, very good. Thanks, Garrett. Thanks. Sadhu. So now I know. Same. Explanation or what? No, he said, actually, the Mandarin word, the same word got a few meaning. One of the meaning is perception. So that one solve our problem. But you, traditional Chinese, without much understanding of the word, you liabok, you understand. How come perception becomes xiang yun? Then activity, they say xing. That one is correct, understand. Xing is activity. Like you go for holiday, li xing. Is it the same word? I also not sure. Sound the same. Sound like me. Look like me, but may not be me. This one is a famous Lingam's expression. Okay, we go on. The first five types of consciousness are there? It's in the note. Seeing, hearing, smell, tactile, and taste. Consciousness. And the 6, 7, 8 consciousness of the Mahayana are within the mental consciousness that arise upon contact of mind with their respective sense organ and data. The mundane mind or false thinking mind is not your true mind because it is conditioned arising. Now you understand, huh? Remember the physics experiment, otherwise you cannot understand. The lighting up of the light bulb is like the moment you become conscious. Understand? Conscious of all this consciousness. That's why when mind arises, this consciousness created the world and the continent. And now you understand. Yeah? Your consciousness is the one that allows you to input the content to perceive. That's why mind is a foreigner of all things. Before that, there is nothing. Like this table. No name, nothing. The table doesn't know it's a table. Who knows it's a table? The mind that perceives it, understand? That's why the world is the world. No knowing. But the world got meaning arise because mind arise. That's why everything arise because of the mind. 一切为心造, the mind created it, 造成的, 心造成的. Of course, created by the mind is also correct, but English word, creation, like magic, you know, I create, you know, God create man. You know. It's not the type of create. It's conditioned out, comes about through mind. Mind make ade, that's why the Buddha said. Then, the mundane mind or false thinking mind is not your true mind. This one you must understand. Because they are conditioned arising. There is not a permanent unchanging entity. It has got no nature of its own. Whereas Nirvana is totally different because it is the unconditioned. Once the mundane mind completely ceases, then the true mind will manifest, leading upstream to the realization of the oneness nature or Buddha nature. Mundane mind is the deluded, heedless thinking mind, capable of false perception, cognition, memory, knowledge, and false thinking, karmically related. So this one, I define very clearly, understand it. What is a mundane mind? It's your thinking mind, heedless mind, conditioned arising mind. So it's the deluded, heedless thinking mind, capable of false perception. That's why you don't see things as they are. You see things according to your views, opinion, conditioning, memory. Understand not? That's why you act according to that brain, that conditioning, that memory. You are not acting at all. Because all of the wrong thought, wrong view, selfishness, emotional negativity, fear, phobia, everything is there, insecurity. So how can you act? These are all evil root. Acting according to memories, acting out of your fear, your phobia, your insecurity. That's why you do funny thing. Out of your self-delusion. So never act according to memory. Act according to your understanding or wisdom. That's how you should act. So this mundane mind is capable of false perception. That's why you become deluded, confused. False cognition. Then from memory, from your knowledge and false thinking. Means all of the wangs, heedless thinking, wrong thought. Which is related to karma. That's why karmically related. Sankara and sanya are very active within. You understand this statement or not? What is sankara? Perception. After you perceive, what happened? You go and think, label, give meaning. That's why sankara sanya are very active inside there. Understand? These are the movements that make you heedless, preoccupied, judge, react, comment. That's why you can never, never have the silent mind to see things as they are. That's why when the mundane mind is active, you become heedless. You cannot meditate. That's why you must have silence. It constantly clings and grabs onto sense data, whereas the true mind is a silent, heedful mind, pure and clear, profound, bright mind. It can be aware of sense data, thought, and it can also see things as they are, but it doesn't labor. It got no word. It cannot come out and live life, understand not? The mind of the enlightened one is connected to their true mind with wisdom. Because of the direct seeing, the awakened, the wisdom is, you can say, stored there, connected to that form of mind. It is the essence of mind, the unconditioned. That's why the moment they awaken, the wisdom there, the form of mind is no longer deluded. It will not suffer. And you can say that form of mind is enlightened. But that one is not a permanent unchanging entity. That one is not you. That one is karmically conditioned out through karma. That's why don't be deluded. Don't build up your ego. Oh, I enlightened already. This is a very powerful delusion if you do that. But you cannot blame meditator. No? They always say, I meditate to become enlightened. I want to be enlightened. The I is so big. Understand? Sakadity. The one thing is a craving. So how? They go and create their own enlightenment. Or I enlightened. The I still there, the craving still there, and they said they enlightened already. Then after that, the ego very different. Hey, you want jnana, you not yet. I already complete the 16 jnana. I already arahant. No? Wow, some more got arahant, got the I. So all this, when you understand, you really laugh at it. Understand? No? Well, there is no such thing. The reality is very different from the world's perception. That's why the world's perception of truth is their view and opinion of truth. And the most gullible one, this I always remember, is the non-enlightened one is trying to tell the enlightened one how the enlightened one should live. He said, you're enlightened already. You must not have craving. Good food cannot eat, no. Then they very serious one, no. They very strict one. They really have all the precepts there. How do you know? They say, I heard lah. The book say lah. The monk told me lah. Aiyo. This one is what you see in the world. In society, very common. They were even able to tell. Cannot be lah, enlightened one don't behave like that one lah. They don't have craving one. Good food they don't eat one. You pass to me. I eat, oh, got condition. Why waste? Understand? Got condition to live life, travel, do whatever you can. Because the Buddha said, don't attach. He never said cannot have, no, understand? When condition is there, it belongs to you, use it. But the user of whatever you have must have wisdom, otherwise it's wrongly used, like your thought, like your wealth, like whatever that have the condition to arise for you to own. You can use it with understanding and wisdom. Then you are not deluded by it. When condition no more exists to be or disappear or separate, you are not affected at all on the self. You can accept the reality. Like the Bodhisattva at that time, even before he became Sammasambuddha, he knew this reality. When the sun died, he said, whatever there is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. This is a universal law because of the nature's law of cause and effect, condition arising, causal phenomena. Then he said, what has been born into this world has already come to pass. So no amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. That's why they are not deluded. They are not attached to all these things. And they understand condition no more cease to be because they have their karma. Condition like that, things will be like that. And they are always at peace. No need to lament. No need to be like sorrowful, remorseful. No need to think, why I bring my son out? If I had let him at home, this would not have happened. All these are thought projection that brings about remorse, suffering, unhappiness. This is what suffering is all about. So now you can follow, Okay? So next time when things happen, don't be foolish, don't be deluded. Understand it clearly, accept the reality. Even this form, time to go, let it go. Why you want to cling on to it? I realize a lot of children, they don't understand. They thought that is filial piety. Even can hold on to a few more days, put in the specialist center, pay the money, worthwhile. Is it? I have a lot of filial piety. Do you think for your parents? If all the organs already fail already, you somehow want them to carry and suffer just because you think you're very filial piety. If you understand, you won't do that. That's why I saw my father that time, I remember. He seldom go hospital. No? Unless really no choice. Then they put him in the Kedah specialist center. Then I think Kedah then not so good. So my sister brought him down to KL. Go to this HUK and because she worked there. Then I went there, I checked with my sister. I said, how's the blood test and the all the other tests? He said, all the organs are failing already. Very difficult already. Okay, I said, that is good. I won't know what to do. Then together with my two brothers, we went and talked to our dad. Then I sense he was actually not happy in the hospital. I asked him, I said, how are you? How do you feel? He said, I don't like it here. I said, why? He said, it make me no appetite. Why? All the doctor, they come, they give you injection, medication, antibiotic. Every specialty give one type of antibiotic. Diabetic one give. Heart one give. Then the high BP also give. He eat until he's like his three meal is antibiotic and medicine. And my father seldom go hospital that long. Then I asked him, what is it that you want? He said, I want to go home. I said, before you go home, what is it that you want? Whatever you want, we will take you. Oh, he suddenly smiled. He said, we go asam laksa. I tell you, that was the best. Then I told my brother, get the wheelchair. We just pushed him out of the hospital and we didn't even discharge him. Wow, I saw his face full of joy despite all the organ failure. Wow, first time after 1-2 weeks in the hospital, that asam laksa, I tell you, to him is really, really meaningful. That is joy, that is happiness. Put him there in the hospital and let him suffer and someone say must prolong his life. Then after that I say, don't worry, tomorrow we ask for discharge. And then I drive you back. Then my sister follow me. That's how I drove him back. And those are the moments he felt very good because he recalled the holiday I arranged, remember? 6 months before that Chinese New Year, we went to Thailand Hakiao Resort. He recalled that he was full of joy. He said, my life fulfilled, contented. I got nothing else to look forward to. My children are all very successful, grown up. That should be the thing, asana. Just because you want people to see that you are very failure, but you don't feel for your own father, you don't talk to your own father or mother. You have to ask them, what is it that they want? At that stage, you somehow say, hey, this one cannot eat, that one cannot eat. You must make sure you take medicine at the right time. Antibiotic must take, jab must take. You are making him miserable. That's why you are sensitive, you are different, you look, then you understand. These are reality of life existence. Death doesn't only happen to your own parent or yourself. All of human beings or living beings, if they live long enough, they have to confront this reality. That's why the Buddha say, develop wisdom, not to cling, not to attach. Like the Buddha said, the body is already like a worn-out blockhead waiting to collapse. You somehow want him to extend his life. Ananda talked to him that time. He said, no point. If what you want is the Dhamma, 45 years and now, how long more you need? Means you are not serious. You want the Buddha to be forever, exist in the world, to benefit living being. Where got such thing? Yeah, he need a form of mind to come. And because he overworked, not enough rest, that's why he passed away relatively young, 80, where the lifespan, average lifespan at that time was about 100. And a lot of people live until 120. Okay? So now you understand. Huh? Okay, we move on. Sanya or perception brings the external form into the mind via mental perception, and it is also called the sixth consciousness. The external form then becomes the mental form or sense data for the mind to arise mental consciousness, because mind is also an organ. Now you understand. Seventh consciousness is Sankara, and Sankara is likened to a mental organ like just now I mentioned. And upon contact within the mind via mental activity, when you create thinking, means you make contact, asana. Trigger of the eighth consciousness, alaya or storehouse consciousness, which is vijnanam. This is the eighth consciousness. So no different when you understand. Then we move on to the four foundation of mindfulness. First foundation of mindfulness, kaya nupassana. This is nicely summarized for you. If you want to understand the cultivation, then read with the yellow book, the last chapter, or last what? Final summary of Satipatthana Sutta. That one you must thank Ingby. Ingby transcribed the whole thing. That one was very, very good. Final summary. After the class, she volunteered. That was a very good one, because she felt, so beautiful, the sharing. Then when the book came out, really beautiful, beautiful. That's why we should rejoice. A lot of these transcript books, you must thank all those Karyamita who actually developed the initiative to transcribe it out. That's how it become written, printed, distributed free, and it make the teaching easy to understand. Otherwise, if it's not recorded, not transcribed out, if I just share with you, like what I gave in the talk and all the Heart Sutta class and the various Surangamasta class, how much can you retain? I tell you, less than 10%. Unless you're really a cultivator with your past. Even now, let's say without the book, whatever I read, you think you can follow and understand? Without the book, I tell you, cash no ball. So all this, you must have gratitude towards all these people who has done this for you. Then later on, contribute. You can also help out in all this. Then this teaching will all be documented nicely for people to benefit. People benefit you. now is your time to benefit people. And those who do this, I tell you, your parami is fantastic. In future, you will receive all this. And so, because you are the one that arises the condition for people to receive. That's why when you understand, when you really have the clear understanding that this is beautiful, this is the truth, play your role, do your part, and rejoice. Then you will reap what you sow. Okay, we go on. First foundation, kaya nupasana. Start with what? Anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. What is the purpose of this training? To train the mind to be in sati, to develop heedfulness, means train the mind to have sati, then stabilize it. Then use it to cultivate noble eightfold path, leading to heedfulness. Then to start cultivating heedfulness, you go to the next category of practice. So once you have the stable mindfulness, once heedfulness, or actually the stable mindfulness, cultivate mindfulness of the four postures of standing, sitting, walking, and lying down, which we went through before. Then move on to cultivate sati sampajana, or mindfulness with clear comprehension of all the connecting activities in between the four postures. That is your daily mindfulness of all action and movement in the present moment, to develop the initial insight into the three characteristics of nature. The four types of clear comprehension are clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose, domain of meditation, reality of the here and the now, means suitability, and lastly, non-delusion. Then cultivate mindfulness of the four elements which constitute this physical form to see its anatta nature, because it is only element, no knowing, cannot be you. Then contemplate the 32 parts that constitute this physical body to understand its condition arising nature, of all the parts coming together to perform a function of a human being, and to realize its foulness. Understand not? You think your body, about the skin, wow, so pretty, so handsome, so young, your youth and all things, but underneath the skin, that's why Mahayana got this famous word, the human body is a chou pi nang. You know what is a chou pi nang? Very dirty and very smelly. Skin bag. Nang is what? Pass. Back la, back la. Very foul. Skin bag. You know what inside there go? Your urine, your pus, your shit, your mucus. All of your discharge. Understand? Oh, now you laugh. Your tears. Then your from the nose on, then there is also gold deposit in your ear. Then your hair, your nail. Then all the organ with the blood, the effluence from there. Then you look at the organ, you think pretty. You look at your intestine. You look at your anus. Outside, beautiful. Wow. I remember last time, Eba. You know Eba song or not? Very hot one at that time, 1980, early 80. One of the two ladies, one of them nominated as what? The most beautiful buttock in the world. You look at the skin outside with the dress, of course, most beautiful. You look deeper beneath the skin. Oh, I tell you, you dare not look. Understand? So don't be foolish. Don't be deceived by external appearances. Understand? Like the pondan. Wow, look outside, really so feminine. Can go for Miss Thailand, I tell you. And they can get the prize. At least top three. But the moment they open their mouth, I tell you, you run. So, do not be deceived by external appearances. Understand? That's why the Buddha teach you to look deep within and understand that these are all the parts that comes together that performs the function of a human being. So his analogy is the bullock cart, but it's not taught in the teaching. That's why he told the monk the bullock cart analogy, remember? He said, what do you see? Bullock cart. The monk all said, yeah, bullock cart. Then he said, dismantle the wheel, the axle, the cart, everything. After dismantle, he said, what do you see? No more bullock cart. Understand? No? Initially exist, now no more. Why? Condition no more. And then, okay, go back, assemble it up. They assemble it up. Then he said, what do you see? Arise again. Bullock cart exists again. So what is bullock cart? It's not real. Isn't it? When the part comes together and it performs a function, you give it a name, that it exists, then you deludedly cling. There are conditions arising. Without all this part and condition, the block part doesn't exist. The human form also same. Without the 32 part coming together, performing the function of a human being, the human being is never there. Understand? Like that block part. So do not be deluded by all this. Understand they are not you. Condition arising, cause of phenomena. That one not taught in the scripture. But the two were separately taught in the scripture. Understand? But actually the 32 part is similar to the block card, but they cannot see. Then after that, what do you do? Finally, he said, to contemplate the 9 stages of cemetery decomposition of this physical form or body after it is devoid of consciousness. Devoid of consciousness means that. You say die, eh? Actually, it's separation of consciousness from the form. How fearful is it? Who died? What died? Nothing died. Consciousness has to leave. You have no more condition to stay there. And death is so simple. You don't have fear. Understand? If you have fear, then death becomes very mysterious. You don't know where you go. Because you hear all the ghost stories. Then you hear all the hell story. I'm going down. because you recall what? All your evil deeds. Last time I shouldn't have done all this nonsense. Now I'm dying already. Then every moment when you sleep, you dream also, you dream of them coming to take you down. That's why you got phobia, everything. Why do you live such a heedless life to arise a condition for all this to arise? You have lived a rightful life with understanding, heedful life with understanding, you will be beautiful. You will understand who you are, what you are. And you will know there is no death, nothing dies. Then you are peaceful. Then if you have the wisdom, you can cease your mind. And you can die beautifully, peacefully. Like my teacher Ajayantra said, you must know how to die before you die. You understand the meaning? If you don't know how to die before you die, you will become miserable. Means before you die, you must know how to die. That's why when I young, I die before I come out. Then I know how to die. But he like it best. He said, your defilement must die. When your defilement die, then you know how to die. Understand? You are no more defilement, so easy to die. Understand? Cessation of form and mind. So, defilement must die. Means, you must cultivate, purify your mind, and root out all this delusion, so that the defilement die. And then you know how to die. Understand? Otherwise, the defilement create karma. Karma will come after you before you die. It will condition you. And you will get into all sorts of suffering and problem. Okay, we read on. Second foundation is Vedana Nupassana. Mindfulness of feeling that arise upon contact of mind. Be aware of feeling, the Buddha said. If feeling has been conditioned into pleasant and unpleasant feeling, then one has to be aware that it has become sensual desire and ill will, which are the first two of the 5 mental hindrances. And is also the first two evil roots of greed and hatred. With this awareness, we must arise the right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought that has arisen, followed by the right effort to prevent them from arising in the future. That's why this is the first step. Why he asks you to be mindful of feeling? You think the Buddha Japa Xiao Ying asked you to be mindful? And the book just teach you, no? Feeling got three types. Yeah? Standard answer. Pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. After that, they go on already. They thought they understand already. But they never tell you why aware of feeling. It's to let you understand that feeling has been conditioned into craving, positive and negative, light and negative. And these are hindrances of mind. Also, the first two of the three evils will make you evil, will bring about suffering. This is the teaching, but not written in the text. Understand? No? You go and read all the text. Feeling got three, always like that. Pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. Then go and sit and be mindful of these three. That's it now. Why mindful? Don't want to tell you. Well, he himself also don't know. They themselves also don't understand. You just do. One day, you will become enlightened. Yeah? Four foundations is the only way. And this is vipassana. That's why I tell you, very difficult to penetrate Dhamma. It has lost its original potency to awaken living beings. So this part, you really, really must understand. Okay? Then we move on. So during the meditation, if we are not mindful of the uncomfortable tactile feeling that arises, we are lack of wisdom, then we will react to it and label it as pain. That's why the traditional teaching is got pain, no. Pain, pain, pain. Itchy, itchy, itchy. Thinking, thinking, thinking. The more you know, you think more. More severe is the pain. But they hope everything is impermanent. After I know long enough, sure the pain will change. Either you move your posture or what, or you pengsan, then the pain no more. Because you know without understanding, and thought-based, keep on repeating, repeating, nothing. This is not only perceiving, no. Thinking, 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 no. And by noting, thinking, 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 you can become silent or not. You can become peaceful or not. That's why now you can laugh. Last time you do, so gullible, no. Still think that if we pass on now, no, I tell you. Now Danny laughed. Yeah, Danny came and see me last night. Very good, sadhu. So I read on. So during meditation, if you are not mindful of the uncomfortable tactile feeling that arises due to lack of wisdom, then we will react to it and label it as pain, 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 or unpleasant feeling, which is the reason why your mind cannot be peaceful anymore. Because pain is what? Mental hindrance. It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. That's why that sati cannot build up, understand? Or? Because of your aversion towards it, your dislike towards it. Then you go and create more thought. No? Pain, pain, pain. No? Create hindrance. Prevent the mind from entering the meditative state, still don't know, still think vipassana, then torture yourself unnecessarily. I always tell you what, you come to retreat and meditation not to torture yourself. Understand? You are here to train your mind to be peaceful, to be mindful, to be heedful, to be aware, to be with the moment. You are not doing all those things. You yawn until you dare not move. Fart also dare not fart, I tell you. That is the worst. Because everybody sit there, not move. Why? I'm doing vipassana. Thought arise also, dare not let people know. Okay, I know. Then I do like everybody. Nobody can find out any fault about me. I also know. I also. But everybody dare not tell. It's miserable. Suffering. That's why some of the ladies come and see me. I think one or two, usually. He said, at my age, can I not sit so long? I say, by all means, don't sit. You cannot sit at your age. You go and sit and torture yourself for what? sit on a bench, lie down, bow, understand, walk, contemplate. Four postures you can use to make, as long as it brings about condition for you to be peaceful with the moment, to allow your mind to settle down, to contemplate, to reflect, to understand. Use it, understand. That's why meditation, the domain of meditation, is any posture. Oh, wait. Excuse me, my classmate called me. Okay, sorry for the interruption. Then we go on. So this 8B, sorry, 2B is very important. Understand this so that you do not go back to the old way. Understand how the cultivation is to be done. Then when you do not labor, what happens? You can accept the reality. Your body goes the way of nature. Conditioned like that, it will be like that. I have to endure. I must not labor to create hindrance. When I endure means what? I accept that this is the reality of the form. Just like going through old age, sickness and death. Before medication come, you have to endure. Then before you understand how to relax, the pain will be there. But if you are at peace, first thing it will do to you is very good. The mental hindrance not there, correct or not? Yeah, you don't labor, you don't react at peace. Then your spiritual faculty, if you are patient enough, will take over, sati will take over. Then when sati is there, you know how to relax. Then the qi flow. Then piti arise. And then you realize you can sit. Then the pain slowly dissolves. Or if you really want to go through the test, where it come and test you, sometimes for no reason, after you meditate until you never see pain for quite a while, really, you thought, oh, I got it, yeah. For no reason, one day, I tell you, the pain keep on coming until you dare not see. This will test you. If you cannot understand and cannot endure and go through, means that wisdom cannot arise. That's why that time, when my teacher told me, Ajayantra, mind is mind, body is body, body, then I very confident. I tell myself, this time I'm going to sit through. Yeah. Then when I sat through, you come and test me, until the leg like really want to paralyze, like really want to, like, really twin jolla. Then the mind, very different. Where I have faith in my teacher, mind is mind, body is body. Body never, the mind never. I believe these two are different. So I silent, I don't want to know. I endure. I say, the break, the leg paralyzed. See? Then after that, the thing came, the shift of consciousness, flashed to the brain here, I remember brightness. Then the true mind came. Then all of a sudden, full of virya, full of brightness, clarity. Then the mind is so bright and so clear. Tang Xiang Sufu, you want to see? Joyce Lim. Okay, Ta Lai Liao. Then you know what happened? I was so amazed. I said, this is meditation. Really, this thing can happen. Then I look around, I check, I investigate. I went down to the spot where the pain was so severe. The whole thing really not there. No. That feeling aggregate is not there because it's the pure mind, the true mind. Then after that, because it can be aware, then I check, that pulling thing, sensation, everything is still there. No. But that aggregate doesn't arise. No. That so-called feeling doesn't arise at all. Then I saw, the mind, the aware is the mind. the thing that is in the form giving the tactile thing is no word one. That's why they tell you, see the pulling sensation, all the concept, everything. Where got pulling sensation? It's just what is happening down there. Understand? Then slowly I saw, because it doesn't affect it, then the body relaxed. Then the chi, when it passed through, that whole leg become like nothing inside there. Peaceful, everything flow, settle down. That's why after that, from that day onward, I don't experience pain or I got problem with sitting anymore. That's how you will understand and you will become very different. So meditation, if you do it correctly, the result is really, really amazing. Okay? So this is for your own understanding. Okay. But like I say, don't try to be a hero. Not really. Don't unnecessarily go and try and collapse like that monk, Canadian monk. I don't know how many days in coma. because he really endured until he cannot take it. He just fainted. When you are not ready, you know. You have no sign. When you are ready, you got sign. I was so confident after my teacher tell me about my faith was there. Then I say, I'm going to see it through. I'm going to understand pain. Okay, we go on. If we have the understanding, then we will be mindful of this feeling via our silent mind to investigate into it, to trace its origination factor, so as to understand how the unarisen hindrance of mind comes to be. The mind will come to understand that if there is no wrong view of self-delusion, then the stirring of the mind leading to the arising of the mental hindrance or sensual desire will not happen. Then via straightening one's view to accepting as they are, one will be able to retrospectively reverse it, thereby understanding how the disappearance of the arisen hindrance, how it comes to be via wisdom. Then as this wisdom finally stabilizes, one will also come to understand how the non-arising of this mental hindrance in the future come to be. Means when you understand already, it cannot come and disturb you. Even if it wants to build up or what, after long sitting, you will understand. It got no more power over you. You want to sit, you sit. You don't want to sit, you don't have to sit. Because you are there to develop the understanding. Once you understand, you don't have to torture yourself. Then you can sit. Easily. But as your body age, don't try to be a hero. That's why I got chance to sit, now I sit. other years retreat, I sit all the way. But now, age build up, then forgot to bring cushion. They're very hard one, cause my heel to ache. I also don't want to suffer. I don't want to become hero and show you, I can sit, I got no pain. What for? This is not the intention anymore. Because the reality is the reality. So when you understand, you will do things differently. Okay? We go on. Then as this wisdom finally stabilizes, one will also come to understand how the non-arisen hindrance, how the non-arising of this hindrance in the future come to be. This is the way to develop wisdom or insight. We are Vedana Nupassana, and not just noting pain, to do away with the pain. We are resisting suppression and control. So this is where they go wrong, understand? So when you understand, this second part actually is mentioned in the Sutta, the Vedana Nupassana Sutta. He said, when you are mindful of all this, mental hindrance, the five mental hindrance under Dhammanupassana, the first category of practice. You recall? You go back and check, it's all written there. Then you will develop the wisdom to understand how the non-arisen hindrance come to be. Then after that, when you develop the understanding of how it sees, you will also see how it sees and disappear through meditation, where you have the understanding. And then after a while, you will know how this mental hindrance can never arise again in the future, because you have the wisdom and the understanding, and it cannot deceive you anymore. And your mind cannot behave like last time anymore. That's why the hindrance cannot arise. So this is the important understanding that you have to develop. Then D, to go deeper into the investigation, we can also inquire as follow. Before this unpleasant feeling arise, there was none. Correct or not? Hence, the awareness of this feeling, transforming it into mental hindrance, can bring about an understanding of how the unreasoned hindrance come to be. You follow, huh? Then, how come I have this reaction of mine to those mental perception that I come to perceive via my seeing or hearing or thinking consciousness, then for sitting, the pain is tactile consciousness, thereby conditioning this feeling or sensation into mental hindrance or sensual desire and ill will. It is because of your conditioning to reject unpleasant feeling, which is negative craving, hence a wrong view, born of habitual tendency, where we are so conditioned to like pleasant, good feeling, anasana. Then when all this unpleasant feeling arise, you want to reject it, you want to do away with it, and there is aversion. Hence the wrong view, born of habitual tendency. If you can be at peace with what you have, or what you perceive, via acceptance of what is, like I said, the reality of this form is like that, go the way. Before medication help come, you have to endure the pain or the sickness, disease. Then, meditation also same. Before you understand how to relax, for the pain to dissipate or go away, you have to endure. That's why you relax, silent. Then find out what happened. If I don't allow it to arise as a hindrance, I don't labor, I can be at peace. Initially, you have to endure. That's why the Bodhisattva vow. You have to endure and severe all vexation, all suffering. This is how you develop it. Then after that, there will be no more wrong view. Then with this right view or right understanding, one can just let things be and then silence one's mind to relax into whatever mind state that arises. When you do not react or grasp and cling onto the sensation with aversion or wrong view, then what happens? The hindrance is no more there. The hindrance is no more there. So the mind that accepts the reality of that sensation without reacting to it can be at peace with it. Hence, the mind can relax into it, and the sensation will become normal and peaceful again, because sati, mindfulness, the spiritual faculty, was set in. The lack of peace comes from your reaction of mind to try to do away with the unpleasant sensation that you have labored via your wrong view. Then E, meditation is to develop the wisdom to understand, and then act with right view, following Noble Eightfold Path, which is incapable of negativity, to resolve all issues amicably instead of reacting to them via delusion and wrong view, thereby creating more negativity in the process. So the main purpose and intent of meditation is to realize the wisdom, to be at peace with any situation within the moment and not to label it as pain. With no more aversion, then only can we accept the reality of the moment and to understand that it is, to accept the reality of the moment and to understand that it is because we do not know how to relax into it, causing the chi flow to be constricted, thereby causing the unpleasant sensation. This is what you should do. You don't have to fight, suppress, and resist or control that hindrance or pain. If you resist control, you will suffer. Where you are suppressing it, then you don't know how to end it. That's why people go into one-pointedness, concentration, build up the calmness, the piti, and our friend Deep Pranya meditation. So the peace is stronger than the pain. That's why the pain also you can forget about it. But all these are temporary, because these are suppressing it. It's like you look for a better prison, but you are still in the prison. Your new prison can be 5-star hotel, but you are still restricted within the 5-star hotel suite or room. So it's another prison, but more comfortable. So when you go into concentration or sleep, your mind state are very beautiful. But it doesn't solve your problem. Your mind is still bound to the fetters. That's why it's still within samsara, birth and death. So to liberate, you must have wisdom, nothing else. So all the fantastic mind state will not free you. It is only temporary. It's not a permanent fix. Okay? Third foundation of mindfulness, citta nupassana. Like feeling, here we go deep into the content of consciousness to be aware of its evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, and various states of consciousness, etc. So when the content of consciousness has greed, one must be aware to deal with it as above, so as to develop wisdom to free the mind. So all this has been shared. The purpose for you to be aware of the content of consciousness is because your content will have the evil roots, greed, hatred, and delusion. So these are wrong thoughts. These are evil roots, root of all evil, make you evil. That's why when you see them, you must arise the four right effort to deal with them. Then the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought, to resolve them and develop the understanding. So the whole of the understanding of meditation becomes very easy when you understand all this teaching of the Buddha. Then you apply them. Four right effort is daily life. The third way, the first two way, think of the direct opposite and the consequence is in contemplation you do. Then the third way is meditative. That's why meditative, apply the third way. Silent, aware, don't labor, don't react, don't stir. Then it will cease. Understand? Not? Even pain also will cease. So all this, if you understand, if there is no more movement, the original mind state, which is peaceful, relaxed, and aware, will return. When all this condition arising mental state of greed, hatred, fear subside. Because you don't feed it with any more wrong view, mental energy. That's why it will subside by itself. So this is the real understanding of meditation. Then when you understand it, you know how to do. Then meditation becomes very simple. Okay? Yes. Pass the mic to our young man.
Hello. Brother Teo, before we move into the fourth foundation, right? Because it states here, third foundation, like feeling, here we go deep into the content of consciousness to be aware of its evil root. So why is it not Sankara Nupassana instead of Citta Nupassana le? Why need to include the Vijnana?
You never listened yesterday. Yesterday did you listen? The three name Pali word that they use to express mind. Mano, Vijnanang, and Citta. I already explained, that's why under Citta Nupassana, they never use Vijnanang Nupassana. They never use Mano Nupassana. The Citta is the consciousness and its content. Understand? Can follow or not? You really understand or not? I see you like still liabokyo. Brother teach you. And its content. That's why that is your thought. That's why the Buddha here, third foundation, he called it citta nupassana. Otherwise you can use the word vijnanang nupassana. Vijnanang is the pure content. Pure consciousness before the content. That's why in the dependent origination, first link is what? Ignorant condition activity, avijja paccaya sankhara. Then you develop mental thinking. Then it creates mental consciousness. And this is the pure consciousness before the content gawa. That's why sankhara paccaya vijnanang. This is the vijnanang without its content. Then when the content went in, it conditioned nama rupang. Understand? This nama rupang is the second aspect. Five mental consciousness. Five mental aggregates of form and mind. This is the one which is a thought. Understand? The That's why when you understand, the Buddha never wrong one, I tell you. Yeah. More important is to understand why you go and do this mindfulness. Not the name. Not why, not vinyanang nupasana, not any other name. Why you want those names? The more important thing is you understand what this third foundation is. That's why I use the word, just like you do feeling, Vedana Nupasana, here you go deeper. Your feeling is at the surface. Understand? We are after feeling only a condition, craving. Craving is your cause of suffering. That's why the evil root surface, here you go deeper than feeling. Where it has become craving. No more a general pleasant, unpleasant, no. Now you go into the detail, evil roots. Greed, hatred, and delusion. And greed got a lot of meaning. No? All your selfishness, deceitfulness, all your lust, craving, desire, pleasant experience, they are all greed. No? Then you have to understand the essential Dhamma or what constitutes ill will. All your envy, jealousy, unhappiness, they are all this evil root. No? Even conceit also, selfishness, understand? No? When you are selfish and conceit, then the ego is your fear, your worry, your anxiety. Oh, sorry, the delusion is your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, and your lament. These are all delusion. So this evil root, if you don't understand, you only understand the word. Oh, greed, evil root. So, if I don't have greed, I don't have evil root. You think only greedy people have evil root. Selfish people don't have. That's why it includes all this. Cunning people don't have. Deceitful people don't have. These are greedy people. But the evil root, loba, the meaning is very wide. Those are the meaning also very wide. Then moha is really sakayaditi, self-delusion. That's why the Buddha never used the word avijja here. Because the main culprit is self-delusion. Crack that nut, avijja will slowly crack. You cannot crack that one, forget about dealing with avijja. Because the eye is still very powerful, understand? So how to break avijja when the eye is so strong? Okay? Okay. Never mind. Keep the mind there. When they need, they see you. So fourth foundation, I already explained. Mindfulness of the five mental hindrance is the first, followed by mindfulness of the five aggregate of form and mind. Then mindfulness of six internal sense bases and six external sense bases, or the 18 sense right, is for you to trace the origination factor, the fourth way to overcome unwholesome thought. And then retrospectively reverse them via wisdom to straighten your view. Then the next time you confront them, you got no more problem. So now all clear. Then only you will experience the seven factors of enlightenment. That's why mindfulness of seven factor enlightenment will arise. When you hit this, you know you are on the right path. That's why purification of path and non-path will become very clear to you. If enlightenment factor also cannot see and find, are you on the right path? Definitely you are not on the right path. So if you don't have sati, cannot investigate Dhamma, don't have virya, piti, sukha, piti, pasati, samadhi, and upeka, how to become enlightened? Sati also don't understand. Use thought, thinking that nothing is sati. So how? First factor enlightenment also don't have. So how to investigate Dhamma? Again, use thought, understand? Thought-based contemplation. It becomes heedless thinking. That's why very difficult to penetrate. That's why if you teach that way, means the potency of the Buddha's teaching, the Buddha Dhamma, has been lost. That's why you find less and less enlightened being if you teach like that. You have to really, really get those who really understand to point it out to you. Then only you can understand. That word sati, I tell you, very few people understand. You can go and check all the texts and the books. And every time they talk about this word, they dare not define what this thing is. They only tell you, do vipassana. You note rising, falling, that is vipassana. then what is sati? They still use this word, no? Sati, like they translate into awareness, no? Then there was one Satipatthana Sutta seminar. In the seminar, they were having this discussion. Then towards the end, somebody asked this question, no? Bhante, who is aware? Aware of what? You can answer this question. And I got a shock where they sent me the recording. If you understand what is sati and what is awareness, where got this type of question? You understand? Who is aware? Awareness is before the knowing. Where got atta inside there? Where got who is aware? Aware of what? If you say I aware of that, aware of my anger, you have this already. Understand? Means you perceive the anger, you are not aware of that anger. Aware means know it. Before the knowing, before the perception. That's why you are one with that phenomena. That's why you become so gullible. And the seminar discussed this like utau ubui. And some are recorded. That's why it's not to comment in a negative sense. It's to let people understand that this is no longer the understanding. And you cannot continue like that. We are now with the internet technology. All these CDs are sent out, you know. And a lot of people receive, you know, and people gullibly donate, you know. Then, if you lead people like that, in future you come, you will meet teacher who will teach you like that, then you also go that way. Understand, you know? That's why you have to be very careful. That is the reason why, if there is something that I can share with Kayanamita, you all must develop the understanding. But don't go and comment and simply say things. Go out, hey, brother, they still say you all wrong, no, you all cannot do like that, no. No one to be aware. I tell you, you bring problems to yourself and now don't bring it to me. That's why I don't want to call us by any name. No society, no organization, nothing. We are just Dhamma friends. That's why I say, don't understand, don't quote me. Okay? Yeah. You understand, then develop your own understanding. Then after that, when you're very sure, it's okay. Then you can quote me, like how I quote my teacher. Then you can explain. You are not in a position where you're on the spot when people question you. Then it becomes argument, no point. Because they really, really want to be right. And they will definitely believe what their teacher tell them is right. Understand? So don't create unnecessary misunderstanding. Just tell them, this is how I have learned. And I investigate it, I find it very, very, what they call, appropriate. And it helped me so much to develop the understanding. And my personality changed. My understanding changed. I become a different person. Then through this understanding, my life changed. I become happier, more peaceful. And then just for the information of Chin Chin's husband, your wife texts me, but not about other things, about Dhamma. He thanked me, he said, he heard that you and your father-in-law are here and you all are happy, because he said, thank you for guiding them. I say, sadhu to you for your wholesomeness to convince them and ask them to come. Then you know what she said. Last year, after I come, he said, thank you so much. My life was so miserable, I said, so much suffering. Then I follow what you say, you know, ask for forgiveness. After 3 months, she said, her suffering like so much less. You know. That's why she has faith. You know. So this is a message for you also. I rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu. And she only met me at the retreat once. So your Ponchi brought. Where is Ponchi? She brought her, I think. Chin Chin. Sadhu to you. She really very happy lady now. She is so much more happier. How? Don't know me on. Just attend the retreat. Go back, apply. Didn't even ask any question. So this round also, I don't know why your condition. You asked a lot more than last year. How to do all this. Last year, I only shared some very basic one. We had no condition. People didn't ask questions. So this year, many people asked. So all this can develop very good understanding. Okay? Okay, we move on. Seven factor enlightenment, finish. Then mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths, also we've gone through before, to realize the enlightenment in the here and the now. Once enlightened, there is no more delusion. So one will never be deluded by the five aggregate of form and mind anymore. One doesn't have to suffer anymore. One will know how to use the karmically conditioned form and mind to truly live life, to live the noble life, wonderfully and meaningfully following Noble Eightfold Path, thereby becoming a blessing to all. This is the reason why the Heart Sutta said, true emptiness is wonderful existence. Okay? Then we move on. Understanding what sati is very important. Sati is before the knowing, just an awareness within the moment without thought. So that one, because it's without thought, is non-egoic. There is nobody inside there. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness, means the pure perception, the pure awareness before the knowing. That's why you cannot ask this type of question. Who is aware? Aware of what? Oh. This type of question, how to answer? The person who asked that question don't understand. So that's why you cannot have the understanding, you cannot explain to them. Understand? Then they will go and answer, I aware lah. Then if you know whatever, you aware of that lah. Is that sati? Is that sati? The sati don't have an I, understand? It's before the knowing. The sati cannot know anything, it's just aware. So the moment you are aware of that thing, means the perception come out already. Not to say you cannot arise that perception, you can. But your mind has to be silent first to understand the reality, to see things as they are. But the moment perception come out, your brain with its conditioning, views and opinion will react. Understand? That's why you cannot do things that way. You are acting according to memory. You are perceiving according to your views and opinion and your belief system. That's why whole thing is in a mess. But when you silence your mind to understand the truth and the reality and develop the wisdom and the insight, then the next time you aware, you perceive, you understand, you don't have wrong view anymore. Because you know these are consciousness, mental perception, no reality. Outside already condition arising. Mentally, how do I know it? Through a mental form, perception, and image. How real can it be? Even more unreal. Then why are we still deluded by what we see, what we hear? By our perception through our senses. That's why the Buddha say perception is like a mirage, just an image. You go near, there is nothing. Then sankhara is what? All your thinking. Like the onion peeling, at the core of it, empty. Essence is empty. That's why it's just a thought arise and pass away. Your views, your opinion, your attachment make you so miserable. Ultimately, it's just a thought. How come it has such power to make you so miserable, so deluded, so afflicted? So when you see all this, you wake up. Then you tell yourself, without wisdom, I cannot arise the right thought. I don't know how to use thought. So I will try not to use thought. Then you become powerful, you become different, you become more heedful, mindful. Until you understand, you will know how to use them. Okay? Okay, we go on. There is phenomena and mind as one without thought. Like anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath. Just feel the breathing. And then mind and breathing move as one, in complete synchrony, without thought, following the Buddha's instruction. That's why he said, breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. A calm and peaceful mind is only a byproduct of a well-trained mind. But the main purpose and intent of the Buddha's meditation is not about becoming peaceful and calm only. But to develop wisdom to be at peace with all situations. Otherwise, one will be trapped with a mind that is attached to the calm and peaceful meditation as the good meditation. And when your meditation is not peaceful and calm, then you are afflicted and you label it as bad meditation. Hence, your sensual desire and ill will, which are hindrance of mind, are still there. Like the saying goes, any sense experience, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, is a prelude to suffering or dukkha. Even very fantastic so-called meditative experiences, including the experience of jhana, experiencing of jhana, seeing of nimitta, etc., are just conditioned arising state within meditation. And unless one can develop the wisdom out of them to free the mind, then they are not much use. So this is a repeated sharing. Huh? Question 1. Ratio, during the meditation, when I hear the birds very loud and excited chirping, I follow your instruction. Just be aware and no more noting. Then what is the question? Is it correct again? You don't want to investigate yourself. You don't want to understand yourself. You want what? Instant answer. Then after that, follow what I tell you. You become gullible again. So he had to investigate. Now see what I answer. I also don't know. This was a long time ago. It is very dangerous to do that. Because when you quote me and follow what I say, Yeah, Brother Teo said, just be aware. No more nothing. Oh, correct. You quote me correctly. But you don't understand. That's why I say very dangerous. Because via your own interpretation of it without proper investigation to develop your own, see, you have to investigate. Then you become gullible. The reason being, when you are fully aware and without thought, the listening is very different. It is with the silent mind in full creative awareness and attentiveness. Only then can you truly awaken via clearly witnessing the condition arising of the hearing consciousness within the meditation. This is not a concept or a theory, but truly realizing it during meditation. So that is why I always say, don't quote me, but just cultivate to investigate and find out for yourself whether what I say to you is the truth or not. Don't just believe me. Believe me means what? Brother Teo say, just be aware, no more nothing. I do like that. Correct already, huh? Like Brother Teo, suddenly mountain no more. That suddenly the thought come back. How come? Mountain come back. He no come, baby come. So all this is you try to follow what I say and try to realize that you are looking for it. Just don't go and remember anything. Put it in your contemplation, understanding, lock it up. When you meditate, don't try to know. Remember, I always tell you. Silent and just do. Then when the understanding comes, it will mesh on. Then you got no more question on, is it correct? What is the Dhamma? Pachetang. Can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. So if I, as gullible as you are, I will say, oh, very good, you follow my instruction. Correct, correct. Then you know what he do? I already done it, you see. Because I aware, no more thought, no more notice. I don't label pain. I don't label thinking. Well, now I just silent, blank. That one is different, no? Aware means silent without thought. Then that one awaken. You don't even want to investigate. Don't even want to try out. You think you can do like what I say. Not like that, understand? No? So, this is a very good question. Turn out to be a blessing. Okay. Then go on. Only then can you truly awaken. We are clearly witnessing the condition arising. This is not a concept or a theory, but truly realizing it during meditation. So that's why I always say, don't go, this one finished already. Okay. Then I say, don't just believe me and be gullible. Okay. Nevertheless, it is a good question. See, I do not deny. Bring about condition to share for you to understand. Because if you don't ask, I cannot point out your mistake and explain further. So now you understand. Don't be shy. Yeah? This type of question also, in a way, yeah, I say it is a good question nevertheless. So, not bad. Wrong question also, okay. When you meditate, you just relax your body and mind and maintain silent inner awareness to be watchful of what is going on within your form and mind. This is investigation. How you react to sense experience and get conditioned. This one all silent one, no thinking one. Into the various mind state to become afflicted via one's heedlessness and wrong view, and how one functions as a human being, and how we become what we are, how our mind, thought, feeling, and emotion arise and pass away following dependent origination. Awareness or sati is the silent mind before the knowing, and it is just awareness without thought. That is, mind and phenomena as one in perfect harmony and synchrony to move and flow with life. But due to ignorance or delusion, the mind cannot be heedful or mindful because it thinks a lot and becomes very heedless via its habitual tendency. Through ignorance, the mind keeps on reacting to sense experience to arise the like and dislike, the fear, worry, anxiety, and restlessness, doubt, etc. throughout the day. These are the five mental hindrances that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. Such continuous heedless thinking with the five mental hindrances will become so habitual, and this is the reason why most living beings think a lot and they find it so difficult to meditate. The moment they close their eyes, there are so many thoughts, understand? Like you cannot stop them. That is due to your habitual tendency. So the first thing to do in meditation is to develop the opposite five spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya via your daily devotional practice or puja to counter the hindrance, thereby reversing all the heedless thinking so as to become more peaceful and calm. Another skillful means is to do the mind sweeping method, to just feel and relax, no more thinking. To just feel and relax the body and mind with no more thinking, so as to decondition your habitual heedless thinking. It will also train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. This is followed by anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath, so as to develop heedfulness or appamada. When the mind is trained and heedful, it listens to you. You want it to be silent, calm, and peaceful, it will just do that. If you want it to be aware at the moment of feeling, perception, activity of mind and consciousness, it will just do that. Such a mind can meditate and understand what is going on. You want it to think, then only it thinks. Otherwise, it is silent, relaxed, and just aware within. The mind becomes like your obedient and faithful servant, and it always serves you and is at your command to do what you instruct it to do, especially to live and experience all of the beauties and wonders of life, and to live life to the fullest, meaningfully. If the user of thought is wise, then thought becomes beautiful, right thought, and wholesome thought. Otherwise, if the user of thought is evil and heedless, then thought becomes evil thought, that is wrong thought, that constantly condition one's evil root of greed, hatred, and delusion, leading to all the suffering and misery. This is the reason why the Noble Eightfold Path is about right thought. So now you understand why the Buddha recommended all this right thought, right speech, right action. The cultivation of the five spiritual faculty is very important because it can help you overcome the mental hindrance, thereby enabling you to understand easily the Buddha Dhamma and meditation as taught by the Buddha. Radiating love and metta via reciting, may this body and mind of mine be well and happy, also help complement the cultivation, because it brings about a calm and composed mind with a lot of inner well-being and happiness. And this positive mind state of good vibration will help improve and strengthen your immune system. When your mind has a lot of well-being, joy and metta, it can become calm and composed because it is without the heedless thinking and the hindrance of mind. Hence, it can be helpful to develop meditation, especially after a stressful day, if one can meditate to bring about inner peace and inner well-being and inner clarity of mind to develop wisdom. Then one can be in a state of constant relaxed inner awareness with a lot of inner peace and joy within. Then this will like recuperate your body, make you fresh, make you beautiful, good mind state, good vibration. Then it sets the base for good karma to arise. Then your immune system improve. That's why meditation got so much benefit. And yet living being don't see the beauty of it, do not cherish it. The reason why I think people don't cherish it, is because it's given free, understand? The Buddha gave it free. So free thing, you never pay attention. Free one, how good can it be? Understand? But if they say you attend this retreat, you have to pay 10,000, I tell you, they're dead serious. Why? Because every dollar they want to make back, understand? Then they make sure they get all the reading material. They make sure they read everything. Kaupun. Bobo kaupun. I tell you. Human mind, very funny. You don't put a price, nobody interested. You sell very expensive, people line up. We are rich people a lot. Gullible people also a lot. But you say free one. Unless free market. Free market, a lot of people come. Like open house, the minister, Hari Raya, Chinese New Year, Taibusa, oh no, Deepavali. Wow, a lot of people go. They used to come and tell me, until we go, a lot of good food on. I say, you go, but I got no time for all those things. So people can be gullible when they have that interest. Okay, meditation involves two important steps. This one will help you. Okay, maybe after this we can stop. The first step is to train the mind to be heedful or ever mindful via deconditioning one's habitual heedless thinking. Then the second step is to use that trained mind or heedful mind to meditate via cultivating noble eightfold path, especially the four foundations of mindfulness. It is also very important to understand what is the sati. See, all these are very, very important basic that you have to understand before you can start. Also to understand that vipassana is not a knowledge that can be practiced and learned. I hear a lot of people telling me, I practice vipassana. What you practice? What method you use? Is it vipassana? I feel like telling you, do you really know what is vipassana? Vipassana is not a knowledge where you can practice or a skill where you practice, you become very skillful. If you don't silence your mind to awaken, you cannot insight into the universal characteristic. Then where got vipassana? Understand? The method and the technique never define the meditation. It's just a series of instructions to do things, to train your mind. So if you don't understand that and confuse it with vipassana, then you become gullible. Okay, vipassana is not a knowledge that you can practice or learn via thought-based meditation, but it is an insight or wisdom that has to be awakened to via the direct seeing without thought. And wisdom is not a rigid knowledge that can be learned or practiced, but it is an understanding which is not rigid. This is the reason why the Buddha always say, he only shows us the way, but we must walk the path ourselves to awaken to it. We stand for the three universal characteristics of nature, anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta. And patsana is to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature. So the meaning of vipassana is to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, thus awakening to this truth. There was no short note for Heart Sutta 27-28, because that one I think no need. Because prior to your sharing was just based on review of Heart Sutta class 26 short note. So this one actually took 3 lessons. So next one is 32. Okay, we stop here. Any question? We got 5 more minutes left for you. Anybody got any question? Ah, yes. Ah, Brate. Pass the mic to Brate. Ah, Achina. Ah. Ah, can. After Brother Tay, yeah? No problem. Susan, afterwards. Brother
Tay. Brother Tay, just now you mentioned that Sakyamuni Buddha, because of his compassion for living beings, have worked so tirelessly, and that's why,
Not enough rest.
So the body gave way, and he died at 80 years old. Average lifespan was about 100 at the time.
Yes.
When I went through the past lives of this the Bodhisattva, I think if not all of them, but most of them, that when he was a Bodhisattva, in each of the respective Buddha's era, the Buddha seems to live only about 80% of that average lifespan.
Yes.
So is there a kind of, is this a, what you call a Dharma?
Or no. The way I understand it is like that, because different Buddha, different enlightened being, different Bodhisattva, they come, they have their own understanding, but they are very compassionate. They are very loving. So for Sakyamuni Buddha, is he has his understanding. That's why he knew 45 years is enough. So he allowed the body to go that way, because when condition arrive, you will do, understand? You will do. You will not be selfish. Ayo, I cannot really, please don't come and disturb me anymore. The Buddha never say that, no, understand? So this is why he will continue to do, even after the lay people go. The devas come middle of the night. Then the disciple come, understand? Then sometimes he is so tired, he really rests less than 2-3 hours. Even my teacher, Achayantra, knew. He told me the same thing. Then my second last teacher also told me the same thing. He got not enough rest. But he is so loving and full of compassion. Then early morning he rise, survey the world. Then he know where to go. Then he has to attend to all the whatever invitation and all those things. Then because he is a Sammasambuddha, he actually overuse the functional body. But he can understand, he can endure. That's why he don't complain. So that's the reason why this form has its limit. It's like you use it, you overuse a car, understand? No matter how well you can maintain it, because he's the all-knowing, he's a fully enlightened being. He know how to manage his body. But there is no more craving to sustain that life, understand? And to him, 45 years is good enough. As for me, 10 years is good enough. Understand? And this is my 11th year after I come out. 11th year, I can share with you all this important understanding, I felt is enough. Because I told Miss Lee that time, the Heart Sutta class, and even the later on after that, the I don't know what class already, Surangama or what, I forgot it. I said, the Dhamma are all there. You don't need any more Dhamma. I mean, for sainthood way and all those things, except the Bodhisattva. I had shared more than enough. So technically, no need to make any more transcript and note. That's why after that, no more notes. Understand? After the Hasta class, no more notes. Because I said, no point. Keep on making note, printing transcript, nobody read, nobody want to understand. What for? Understand? And after I go through this one, you will know everything you need to know and understand is already here. Your duty is what? To understand. That's it. Finish. And to put it into practice. To cultivate. Sadhu, Christina. So for me, I can tell you, I don't know whether there is a trend or what. But my feeling is he got not enough rest. Well, I also know this form where I got not enough rest. All the Kayamita will know. They always say, Brother, you must rest. You must. Because like Chinese New Year this year, I tell you, my dates for food, at first, they book all the dinner. Then after that, all the lunch also book. Then breakfast. I say, I'm not an eating machine. Please. So next year, I think you will do it differently. We will tend to have more gathering together one or twice enough. If you individually want to come and pay respect and whatever, then no need to go and eat. Otherwise, every 2, 3, 4, 5 kayamita come, one lunch, one dinner, 1 year, go how many days? Whole year also booking full, I tell you. So this is what I have shared with the kayamita. Then I need rest sometimes, understand? Although you see my schedule is very tight. Every Tuesday, every Thursday, and every Sunday, my class is fixed. Then I give talk most of the Sunday, then Friday in clan. So in between, I actually don't have much time. Then people come and see me. Not only at home, I got my classmates, I got my family members, and I got people who know me. My schoolmates, they are all over the world, and they got a lot of things too. So, not to say I cannot handle, because my nature is, if all these things that I share with you, I must prepare, I finish already. That's why they know one. I never prepare one. I come, I share, I teach. Except some Krishnamurti code, I have to read it out, where I cannot remember and memorize things. So, but I understand, so I read it out from the Krishnamurti code, I can explain to you very well. But don't ask me to remember the code and like Dhamma like that. Because Dhamma different is inside me. That's why I can straight away tell you all this. But his code is unique to him. But sometimes I also remember his word. His words are all very powerful too. And I like his word. His words are very beautiful. Where he also came to the understanding, thought is respond to memory. And the observer is the observer. Although use different word. That he always say, that there is no ego. The ego and the personality is a delusion, is it? That one trap. Then he also say the very flowering of thought is the very ending of thought. Oh, that one beautiful. That one is the Buddha's third way to meditate. Okay? Does it answer your question? Thank you.
Can I ask another question? When the Buddha, towards the end of his life, about 3 months before his death, he had announced to Ananda. That in 3 months' time, I'll pass away.
Parinibbana.
So surely when Buddha attained enlightenment and he revealed the Dharma, found it was so profound that living beings are difficult to understand his teaching. So Brahma Sahampati read his thought and came down and appealed to him, right? So in other words, the devas, they are able to read the Buddha's mind. So the Buddha on various occasions have spoken to Ananda, have spoken to Ananda that, you know, if a person having mastered his mind, he can live a whole kalpa and a little bit more. In other words, extend the lifespan if you decide to.
That one is the text. The text say.
Okay.
But the form is still the form. Because I also heard from my last teacher, that one you really don't believe. He said he met his astro guide. You know, as an astro guide. From the astro command. This astro guide live in the Himalayas. The time he met him, he's 600 years old already. And he was the one that teach him how to meditate through the lotus, the gateway. That teacher. So how you believe? Lak pa hui, you know. Liu pai sui. You tell people, you're crazy. 120 also very rare. 600. But there are beings who live until that age. But his form, he cannot travel, cannot move. That's why he only come in the astral. So what the text say could be true if they still stay, because they can go into that type of samadhi and keep the form, then the astral mind can go out and share and teach. But to me, no point. That's why Mimi came to know. All the Buddha, Bodhisattva, the great being, they have their nature. And my teacher, my second last teacher, used to say, their nature are ever radiating for the true cultivator of the way. Means what? You must be the true cultivator of the way. Then you will receive. But you must know how to connect. That's why you have to take refuge. You have to request for the guidance, protection, and their blessing, and all those things. So, to me, all this, I really cannot tell you because I don't have that knowledge. This is what the text say. But my understanding is like what I explained. Because I have really had the experience of hearing it directly from my last teacher about this 600 years old teacher that he met in the astral. And he got another teacher which is in Kalimantan, in the middle of the jungle. Well, this one, I tell you, fantastic occult. You know what is occult? Pure psychic. When he contacted my last teacher was 35 years old. The phone call went through. Then he said, are you so and so? He said, yes. He said, you got a problem. That teacher told him. He said, what you mean? You are about to die. He said, how do you know? Then he tell him, I was sent by the higher being, he said, to locate you, to look for you. He said, do you want to survive? Do you want to extend your life? Because that time he's 35 years old. Yeah. Then my last teacher also, character ringy. He not easily gullible and believe you. He said, what do you mean? He said, if you want, I can heal you. And you got a duty to do, he said. Otherwise, I cannot meet him. I met him at the age of 60, you know, when he was. I aged 35, he's 60. You know. Yeah. So, he asked some more. Then he realized this man is not an ordinary guy. You know. Then he said, okay, I agree to see you. How? He said, you have to come to Kalimantan. Then take the jungle track road. No. Wow, the four-wheel drive. Then after that, I have to walk. No. A few days to reach him. No. Inside there, he stayed for 1 month. Then he wanted to heal him. Then he asked, are you ready? Do you want me to heal? Then he answered, well, no. He said, no. I don't want you to heal me. Wow, how you react? Come all the way, he don't want you to heal. The occult one say, okay, you don't want to heal? There's another way. You heal yourself. I teach you, you do it yourself. But you will suffer like anything for 25 years. That's like 35 plus 25, 60. By the time he healed himself and finished all those things, he came out to teach. So, the reason why he tell that occult master is, if you heal me, I depend on you. You're not around, nobody heal me. So, if I understand how to do it, I heal myself, then I don't need you. Understand? I know how to heal myself. That's the reason why I say he very near. Then when he agreed, then that occult specialist teacher, then when he was staying with him, you know what he told me? At night, they used to come out under the moonlight, six of them, together with the occult master. The occult master, not with the rope, anything, really with the short one, the Chinaman short one. The short, you know the short, my father, their generation wear one? Very loose one, half pen. Then, really ape. He showed me the photo. Then he said, this one last time came out from Gobi Desert. Went to Kalimantan. At that time, the communists, they destroyed everything. So they came out. Then, according to him, there were a few very good ones dispersed all over the world. That's why these people teach, they don't want their name to be known. If you cannot meet those who receive their teaching, you will not know about their background. And the six of them, when they were there, you know, at night, that time was Olympic game, no? I think Ottawa, was it Ottawa or Montreal? Montreal Olympic, I think Montreal. So they were sitting there. Then one of them said, hey, Montreal Olympic start already. You know? But he said, what for? We got no TV. Cannot see. Then the occult master said, you want to see? Okay. You silent, he said. The moment they silent, all six of them there, you know, Montreal Olympic, saw all those things in the astro. Then after that, come back. Then he asked the occult master, what you see? Wow, I saw this game. The other one, I saw this game. Wow, the flag, the fire, the what? You believe or not? Fairy tale or not? I also don't know, because he told me. And he was there, you know. That's why I tell you, there's a lot of things in the spiritual field. You don't have that nature to meet this type of being. You can never understand. That's why I say you write a biography. You jab yourself, I tell you. Okay? Yeah. Did I answer your question?
Well, I suppose so. What I was trying to ask is that since the Buddha had told Ananda that, you know, in 3 months' time he would pass away, and that on various occasions, the Buddha had hinted to Ananda, and Ananda had not appealed to him to extend the lifespan.
That was what was mentioned in the book.
Book.
Yes, you know why? He go and approach Anuruddha, remember? Anuruddha, divine eye, that disciple. That was my second last teacher. And that's why he told me, he told Ananda, you must ask the important thing. First, ask him to extend his life. Then, without you, who shall we go to as our teacher? All those important questions come from him. That time he was a monk, Anuruddha. Not to say he didn't request. When he requests, you know what the Buddha told him? Of course, the text say this way. He said, my body is like a worn-out lokat. And I have already made the decision. Like the emperor, golden mouth open, kam hao ye hoi, won't change decision. Well, you know what happened before that in the Surangama Sutta, they say, the Mara were very excited when they know that he is going to die, parinibbana. And the Mara came and talked to him, sure, 3 months from now, make sure. Then he told the Mara, don't worry, I will keep my word. But he said, because of the Surangama Sutta, as long as the Surangama Sutta is there, you cannot play trick, you see? You cannot do anything. That's why Sean Hong also knew, they all knew. The first sutta to go is the Surangama. When the Surangama disappear, there is the Dhamma ending age. Understand? We all will be trapped. And you know what the Mara say, you know, in the Surangama Sutta? I will wear your robe and teach his teaching. Not the Buddha's teaching. You know. I will wear your robe and teach my teaching. You know. The Mara teaching, the Dhamma ending is all kena, I tell you. Because all this visualization, all this thought base is so interesting, so powerful, and so beguiling. Is it beguiling? Liu Yuan. How to spell, I don't know. Beguiling. Oh, okay. Anyway, ask Ponchi, he knows the spelling. Okay? Yeah? They, not important, not the handful only. Okay, thanks. Pass to Susan. She got something to share. Wow, you are lucky. You meditate 20 minutes less.
Okay.
Yeah, Susan.
This is probably just a sharing.
Very good, very good.
Go ahead. This morning. And okay. I hope that Brother Teo will enhance.
No problem.
After breakfast, I came upstairs, standing at the window, looking out. This morning, and
I saw you smile. I saw you smile.
Yeah, at first I was just looking at
the
building.
Yeah,
and then the birds were flying all about, and my attention was drawn to their chirping, and while looking. I was also, there was this contact at the ear. And after a little while of looking, my attention grew on the chirping of the birds.
Yeah, the awareness is with the chirping of the bird. Yeah, very good.
So it went on for a little while. And then the next thing, the next moment after that, my attention was drawn to the whole area, the space.
Sadhu.
And I guess I have to use the thought, na?
No problem.
That came in is what a beautiful nature. The next thing I did was I thank nature for such a beautiful sight.
Yes. That's why your loving kindness, your compassion, your understanding, you arise all this gratitude. Then when you lie down and meditate this morning, you know how beautiful or not? So quiet, so still, and the bird chirping so clear, and so many of these insect nature's vibration. How many of you felt the stillness and the peace and the calmness after your exercise meditation? A lot of them, quite a number of them. I remember Chia sit until after bell ring also don't want to come out. So a lot of you who already know how to silence your mind, you will experience and realize all this. Nature is beautiful. Nature is where all of the pristine beauty and wonders, they can actually arise. Because they are so pristine, no delusion, no human consciousness to pollute it. And they are all natural chirping and vibration. That's why when you perceive nature is so beautiful. Okay, good, continue. What was your question?
Never before have I appreciated nature this way.
That's how your understanding changed. When you are aware and sensitive, all this will come. Otherwise, you know what you are doing or not. Walking around thinking, when is the retreat ending? When are we going back? My house, how? You are wasting your time. You come here for retreat, you go and worry about home and how to stay. And you didn't even look at the surrounding. You didn't even know that there are so many birds chirping. Which means you are not with the moment to experience life. You see the point or not? Not with the moment in silent awareness to experience life. To experience all the peaceful moment, the wonderful moment, the pristine beauty and wonders of life. And all this, you totally miss out. That's why I say you are too busy thinking, planning, worrying, and miss out on life. You never live life. That's not. You come to retreat, means retreat. Silent. Investigate. Understand. Then you can have this type of understanding. Then everything like soup. So this is life. Compared to your heedless thinking and living, which mind state you want to be in? I ask you. Understand? All these are possible, but you go and worry about life. Think this, think that. Quickly finish la. So tomorrow I can go Kampa for lunch la, visit Mangala Lodge la, then go back wash my clothes la, attend to my children la, or call my husband la, call my wife. Not to say you cannot, please. If you have a wife or husband that need you to call, better call. Otherwise, they come after me. Hey, brother, tell me not to call you. No. I cannot disturb you. Cannot disturb me. I don't want to be distracted. Wow. That time, jiabita. So, develop your own understanding as well. If you have this feeling for him or your wife, your spouse, to give them confidence, you use right speech. Like what Joyce learned. The first phone call you go back or WhatsApp, you say, thank you so much, honey, for allowing me to come. I really appreciate it. I tell you, you just be there. Next time, he will sure let you come. Otherwise, you phone back. How are you? You okay? Where got okay? Without you, the house is in the back. Wow, you happy, I tell you. Understand? That's why I approach it nicely. Talk to people with gentle, pleasant, and loving speech. First thing first, you tell him, honey, thank you so much for allowing me to come. I really appreciate it. I really want to thank you. We go back, we have nice dinner. I pay. I tell you. Then, when you reach home, hug him or hug her.
and express your sincerity. Thank you so much. I benefited so much. I really, really would like to sincerely thank you. And I hope you have the time and the condition. You give it a try. You can join me. And like that, you're successful. Otherwise, you always say, why my husband cannot join me? He see you like before, no chain. How to follow you? But when you come back, you become so loving, so caring, and so understanding. You know, no more negative words, no more ding zui, you know, no more. Wow, he said, what happened to my wife? I think Kang Ming Kok, this one, Puan Chi Novia, yeah, they are very good friends, my physics teacher. You know, the wife last time never come to my class. No? Then Kang Ming Kok keep on coming, no? My physics teacher. Then he learned. Then only he realized what he did one all wrong, no? Last time, for 10 over years, no? That vipassana. Then he said, how come like that, brother? I come to meet you only 15 years later. I already know. I said, last time you also teach people this one. Because now this life also you teach. You know? Because 15 years ago when I first met you, he also teaching. You know? That's why your coming obstruction will ask you to wait this life for 15 years, then only we meet because of affinity. Then after that, you know what happened? No? He start to understand what sati is. For 6 months, 3 to 6 months, he argued with me. Keep on questioning me. He said, you mean the monk don't understand what is sati? How can what they do is not correct? I say, I never say not correct. I say, that is the understanding they teach like that. Then after that, he starts to develop the understanding. Last time, this is some personal sharing, don't go and ask him. Because when the children were eating on the table, dinner, the children, suddenly one of the children, drop the spoon, no. I think not careful. You know what he did or not? He yelled at the children. That was before he knows the Dhamma. He said, told you to be mindful. You never mindful. You know what the son replied? No? Papa, enough. I know what you're going to say. And he come and tell me. I say, Tio, sometimes we out of love and compassion want to share our Dhamma with them. They tell me off. No? They don't respect me. I say, not only your son, anybody will tell you off. Yeah, this is not the Dhamma. Mindfulness has nothing to do with this. Understand? Then only he slowly understand. He said, if people observe you like that, I can get angry and shout at them and tell them like that. You think they want to be like you? Correct? Huh? You want to be like your father or not? If their father tell you like that. You definitely don't even give it a thought, man. Whatever Dhamma you have, you are like that. Then I say, you have to have noble eightfold path. You have to have correct understanding. Speak to them gently, pleasantly. Let them understand. But this has got nothing to do with mindfulness. Mindfulness is to be with the moment. When you are the moment aware of this, you cannot be aware of that. Understand? Not? Then everybody also make mistake. Understand? Not? That day I also spill my soup. We are too full. Understand? Not? Then when I hold it, it was slippery. Understand? Not? Then it spilled. Oh, you mean brother still not mindful at that time? Ayo. Nothing to do with that. Then later on, he came to the understanding. Then I say, always feel for your wife, feel for your children, understand them. Then you will know how to act. Then after that, the wife was so surprised. He started to change. Last time he very Tai Lam Yan, if I'm not wrong. You understand? Everything he decide on, most of the time. Then he be a head of the family. I don't mind. He do that because there is a reason. You know. So what happened was, one day the wife called me. Then I talked to her. I said, Mrs. Kang, what can I do for you? He said, brother, I would like to thank you. I said, why? I tell my brother, my husband, to go and attend your class more. I say, why? He's now so different, no? He asked me where I want to eat, no? Then he gave me a lot of freedom, no? Not like last time. And he talked to me different, no? That is the Dhamma, la. That's how you can make your spouse feel good, understand? No? Because you got noble eightfold path, right view, right speech, right action, right thought. And you become beautiful, character-wise, personality-wise. you cultivate and your ego so big and you got so much emotion and anger, I tell you, that type of Dhamma not what the Buddha teach. Okay? Okay, enough. No more story. Go back. Okay. Yeah. Susan.
Yeah, so, I ended up by sharing merits. But one thing I noticed, maybe it was just time for the birds to fly off. Then it actually did, and was all quiet again.
Sadhu, very good. Then just now before the class start, I saw you at the window smiling like anything. What was it? There was so much joy in her. Alone, silent, smile. Most of the time you meditate also, fu hao fu min, how to meditate. I said, this year. And you don't even know that you are stressing yourself. You're supposed to relax and radiant smile. And I saw the face, not all, now most of them can, but there are still quite a number, mainly new ones. And this year. That's why be sensitive and aware of your own feeling and expression. If this one also you cannot be aware, you want to be aware of outside. Susah. You yourself cannot smile. You want to have love and metta. Want to read it. Smile first. Understand? When you have metta, you can read it. Very good. Sadhu. I rejoice. Okay, you better meditate. You left with 1 hour. I promised my classmate to send him something. Okay? I see you all after this. You all pay your own respect, then you can start your meditation.